everyone, welcome into the Dublin to Denver podcast on the Mile High Report podcast network. Michael McQueen, joined by Colm Cronin, Stuart Roach. First off, this is our first show since the schedule dropped, and it's great to listen or great to chat to everyone again. It's been a quiet enough couple of weeks with the Broncos busy enough in Colorado with the Avs and Tim Connolly making a bit of news this week. Hopefully none of that happens to us over this period of this season, but I'll definitely take the Avs success for the Broncos in the field. Colm, I know you're a big NBA fan and you're just devastated that it's Tim Connolly news, yeah?
Well, it's Stan Kroenke. You don't have to be an NBA fan to understand what's going on there. Pleased for the Avs, especially as their opponents seem to be the Leeds, the Patriots, engaged in all sorts of dirty, nefarious tactics. And this is the time of year for me, OTAs, I least enjoy, because we know that everybody's in the best shape of their life. Everybody's coming up with new schemes. Everything gets analyzed, and we've seen this. Like, I do think when we're going to get into it, it's going to be so much better this year. But like, we're all here. We all remember. We're only a few years on from, Case Keenum isn't throwing interceptions during training camp, and Patrick Mahomes is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Nothing matters until football begins in September. If you enjoy it, great, enjoy it, but realize that none of it essentially matters at all.
Sounds like a t-shirt idea, and nothing really matters. Something that does matter. Stuart Roach, Stuart, you're a big NBA fan. Would you like to see Stan Kroenke on the Broncos?
I am a pretty big basketball fan. It's rekindled recently because it's more accessible on TV, and also because my youngest son is showing great promise as a basketball player. So yes, I am a fan. I would absolutely not like Stan Kroenke to own any team associated with Denver. Because I don't think he's a very good owner. So, I think the chap who owns Walmart, wasn't that the fellow who was supposed to be buying? What's his name again? I can't remember his name.
Walton.
Walton, yeah. I thought he was, I nearly said Bill Walton. See, my brain has been scrambled by NBA speak. Walton, I thought he was the leader in the clubhouse. So I just assumed that was a done deal. But maybe he has achieved. I mean, look, Kroenke, I guess it depends which Kroenke you're getting. You know, are you getting the Arsenal one or are you getting the Rams one? The Rams one is successful. The Arsenal one isn't. We could look at our own teams that we're affiliated with. People in Tampa Bay might now think that the Glazers are fantastic owners, whereas 99.9% of Manchester United owners would happily drive them to the airport. Oh, no, actually, they wouldn't need to drive them to the airport because they're never in Manchester because they're too scared. So, no, I wouldn't have wanted anything to do with Kroenke if that's at all possible. But then again, I mean, I think we said here months ago, just want the ownership thing to be sorted and then kind of forget about the owner, not really see him or her, just sort of, disappear into the background. So that would be my feelings on the matter. But no, Kroenke wouldn't be somebody I'd be welcoming with huge enthusiasm. But let's stay positive, Michael. It's all been positive.
Let's stay positive. We have a season coming up, a season ahead of us. We're going to, in this podcast and in next week's podcast, we do this every season. I predict the Broncos schedule, our overall record. So we're going to go to the first half. I think it's exactly half. We're going to go towards London. And then we're going to stop this week and we'll be back next week with the second half and we'll see our overall record. Before we start this, Broncos have got 3 preseason games. And 2 of them are at 2 in the morning our time, and one of them is on a Saturday at 6 p.m. our time, which is great. They're all on NFL Network, which is great for us as well. The Cowboys at the Bills and against Minnesota. Before we open up against Seattle in Monday Night Football, are we all taking a win here for this game? Yeah, we're just going to take the win and move on. This is a huge... This game, I can't wait to see Colm, the reaction that Russell Wilson gets when he comes back onto that field again, especially in Seattle. Like, he won't have played a meaningful down since he left, and then his first meaningful down is going to be against the Seahawks. Let's start it off. Let's have a bit of crack here. Who wins this game and why?
It's going to be very interesting to see if Locke plays any of the preseason games. Certainly over the last few years, you've seen teams really move away from their starters playing in preseason. Justin Herbert has never taken a single snap. So that will be interesting to see. Russ may take a couple. This, you know, for the Seahawks, interesting stories coming out this week that apparently as OTAs begin, Geno Smith is in the driving seat to be the QB. There's a long time to go before September begins. So Drew Lock has plenty of times, but this is, if you're a Seahawks fan and you're watching this play out, this is what it was like to be a Broncos fan over the last few years. Camp battles between Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch, camp battles between Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock. The Broncos have to win this game. Simple as, yeah, it's not going to be easy. The crowd are certainly going to be up for it. They'll undoubtedly be raising the 12th man flag, and Pete Carroll will be all out to you know, get a victory against Russell Wilson. I don't think there is a whole lot of good feeling in any way, shape, or form. We've seen the noises that came out of Seattle after Russ left. So they will, and we know that Pete isn't afraid to engage in interesting tactics, let's put it that way. But I really think that for the Broncos, they need to get a win, and Russ will want to get a win, obviously, against Seattle. He has spoken fondly of the place, if not the coach and front office, but he has spoken time and time again about his fondness for Seattle and everything he owes to them. But I think the Broncos need to start the Nathaniel Hackett era, the Russell Wilson era, with a victory, and I believe they can do that to start the season 1-0.
I'm going to say 1-0 as well, Stuart. I think that Pete Carroll is on the hot seat in Seattle, and I think this is his last year. I agree, it's intriguing to see the whole quarterback situation there. Could Baker Mayfield come in? It's going to take time. And I still think, regardless who's under center for the Seahawks, I think Wilson goes in and makes a statement win in primetime. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman's first ESPN game. It's got a lot of stuff written over it, apart from the fact it's on at 6 o'clock in the morning. Stuart, have you got us going 1-0 as well?
Yeah, I think so. I think just what Colin was saying, I think the offensive coordinator of the Seahawks was saying Geno Smith is in the driving seat, but then he added a proviso. That was because he was already in situ from last season. Geno Smith is a diabolical quarterback, so if Locke can't beat out Geno Smith, then he's got even more problems than we thought. I'd expect Locke to win that battle, because I think, in fairness, Locke won the battle last year in training camp, but just our old curmudgeonly uncle Vic decided that he was going to go with the guy who was going to help keep him in a job, and went predictably as we all fell asleep around the middle of October and just recently woke up. So I think Locke will play. I think obviously Locke's got a big arm. You got somebody like Metcalf, it's going to be dangerous. The Seahawks, you know, they're a team that traditionally run the ball well, and they've had a good defense, although there's been a little bit with the Seahawks. I don't really watch the Seahawks much. Anytime I've watched them, you know, it's mainly been Metcalf, decent running game, and Russell Wilson running around, making plays out of nothing. And their defense isn't as good as it was. I mean, they've lost nearly all the members of the Legion of Boom. I think there's only one of them left now. So there's an element of their reputation kind of lingering, but not necessarily deservedly so. I don't think the Seahawks have ranked particularly high on defense over the last few years. They do have, that is one of those really loud stadiums. You can even hear it from the television. I think that does affect other teams going in there, but I'd expect the Broncos to win that game. I don't think it'll be easy, because I don't think opening day, there's always one crazy result on opening day. I think we all know them. I don't think it's going to be us losing to the Seahawks, but you do get peculiar results first week or two as teams really begin to gel. But I think if this is the kind of game that we probably would have lost last year or the year before, well, we certainly would have lost the year before, but we probably would have lost last year. So I'd like to think we can go in, get the win. We do have a lot of weapons, and Russell Wilson's going to have a point to prove. I think as Colin and yourself were saying, he does seem to like the fans. I think the fans will give him a good reception, but at the end of the day, speaking in very sort of blunt terms, Seahawks chose Pete Carroll over Russell Wilson. That's kind of what it came down to, because that was the storyline going into this offseason. They chose Pete Carroll, which is a peculiar thing to do because franchise quarterbacks are very difficult to come by, and Pete Carroll's about 140 despite his youthful looks. So that was a very odd decision. So Russell Wilson's going to really want to win it. And I think more importantly, the Broncos are going to want to win it for him. So I'd expect us to win that one. I don't think it'll be easy, as I said, but I think it will win it by a touchdown.
Week two. So we're all 1-0 after the first. This is interesting. Let's see if we're all 2-0 after this. Houston. Lovie Smith coming in to Houston, clearly in a huge sort of rebuild mode, trying to find themselves this season. I think if you go to Seattle and you turn it on against the Seahawks, you have to go in your home opener and you have to beat the Texans. There is no other way about it. This is like going back to, was it 2 seasons ago or was it last season when we were 3-0 by week 3? I just can't see how this Broncos team with Russell Wilson goes in to a home opener and loses against the Texans. So I'm just going to put it out there now, Colin, and say we're 2-0 week 2, top of the AFC West.
We should be, as long as everyone turns up and does their job. Now, the Texans in Davis Mills have a QB who surprised everyone last year. And he had, I think, I looked at this, 5 games where he was over 300 yards, which in one season with the Seahawks was more than Drew Lock has had in his entire NFL career to date. So the Texans are also going into the season with not a whole lot to lose. Everyone expects them to not be great, and playing without pressure can be somewhat liberating. There won't be the intensity that there was the last time we played them, when obviously you had the whole Kareem Jackson situation. And I think that the Broncos will have to make sure that they are up for this game, because it could be a sort of a trap game, and you really do want to get off to a fast start. But it is, you look at their roster, they are looking to the future. They are trying to rebuild. They've decided to go with Davis Mills, but given the haul that they got for Deshaun Watson, you know, they have one eye on the future. They have their own issues down there with the front office. This absolutely should be a game that the Broncos, win. But the thing about it, the first home game, the crowd is going to be up for it for Russell Wilson. I wouldn't expect it to, you know, it's going to take time for the Hackett offense to really get going. So it mightn't be as high scoring as you would like. And I saw stats during the week about Aaron Rodgers and the way in which over the course of the last 3 years, he got quicker releasing the ball every single year. So I expect you'll see an evolution of the Broncos offense. But yeah, I have the Broncos to go 2-0.
Stuart, the Texans playing the Colts week 1. They get an extra day than us in terms of rest. Will that play a factor, or do you think it'll be a 2-0 start?
The Texans are lucky in one regard, because this year was a dreadful year for drafting quarterbacks. Next year is a really good year for drafting quarterbacks. And if the Texans aren't picking in the top 3, I'd be stunned, absolutely amazed. This is about an easy game as we're going to get all season. The only thing might be that there's a little bit of rust just because it's so early and the Texans won't have decided to pack it in because they're 0-12 or whatever. But no, this is like, honestly, if we're not winning this by 2 touchdowns, maybe even a little bit more, that'll be disappointing. This is one of those things where you start to get it cranked into gear for far tougher tests ahead. I'd expect us to pull away. Might be, you know, the NFL, they're all good players, but I'd expect us to be able to put this one to bed quite early. This is a far tougher game coming up in week 3. So for me, this is just a glorified training exercise. The Texans don't have any talent. They don't. But Davis Mills, great, but teams weren't ready for Davis Mills last year. They're ready for him this year. So you'll see him, I think, tail off significantly. They just don't have any players. We should be beating these guys by 20 points.
It's incredible, by the third week of the season, were on primetime twice already. Sunday Night Football, second game at home against the San Francisco 49ers. I think it's similar, not similar, Colin, but similar in terms of quarterbacks there with Seattle. We don't really know who's going to be starting yet. Is it going to be Jimmy G? Is it going to be Trey Lance? There's people putting money in Vegas and Trey Lance being the MVP of the league this season. I mean, it's silly season as far as I'm concerned. This is a really interesting game because there are many ways that I can see. Like, for example, I like Jimmy Garoppolo. I like the way that the offense can work in San Francisco. Like Deebo Samuel, George Kittle coming in to Mile High, it makes you think. I'm just going to be really optimistic and say we're going to win this game and go 3-0. And I literally have no reason behind it. This happens every year, and I just like go out in this crazy record and then we lose like 6 or 7 in a row. But I'm going to say we're 3-0 after week 3. Calm, if the Broncos beat the 49ers on Sunday Night Football week 3, that surely sends a statement out to the league. If they did go 3-0 and beat a 49ers team, I personally think it'll be Jimmy G.
It'll be very interesting. Obviously, if they did do that and they did go 3-0, that's a huge statement, but it will be a tough ask. Despite the fact that the 49ers have had a less than ideal offseason, you would have to say, and given what they had to give up for Trey Lance last year, obviously they didn't have as many draft picks as they would probably have liked. There is the... I don't like Jimmy G. I don't rate him. I think you win in spite of Jimmy G, not because of Jimmy G. But I also think it's interesting that they haven't moved on from him as yet. And there are persistent rumors that they didn't want Trey Lance. It was Mac Jones and it was the owner who got involved. I don't know. I mean, they're all these sorts of stories. I would have thought you'd want to roll with Lance and see what you have, especially as he's on the rookie contract. But given Jimmy is apparently not going to be throwing until training camp, is somebody going to want to take him? Could that trade happen maybe in week 4, 5, 6 when somebody has a QB go down with an injury? Mike McDaniel, I think, is going to be a big loss because he is the one guy who Kyle Shanahan brought everywhere he went, and they did work closely together, and he was very involved in that running game, which is so dynamic. And obviously you saw Deebo get so involved in last year. Now, will getting $25 million a year or more mean that Deebo is willing to go in the backfield? We heard at the over the last few months he didn't want to play in the backfield as much. So that will be interesting to see what could happen. They've also lost some pieces on defense, and their defense was exceptional last year. What they did to Green Bay in the playoffs was quite something. And I'm sure Nathaniel Hackett will want to get a little bit of revenge for that. I don't think that's the way he would have wanted to leave Green Bay with his offense scoring so few points. So this is one where I could see it going either way. I could see the Broncos at home getting the victory over a 49ers side who are still, reeling a little bit from the loss of McDaniel and maybe things not being sorted out with Deebo and maybe Lance finding his feet. But equally, Kyle Shanahan is a magician in terms of what he can do on in terms of scheming stuff up. Let's be positive and say that the Broncos get the win and they are going to Vegas at 3-0.
Stuart, 3-0?
I think so, but I think it'll be maybe by a field goal. I think that the 49ers have a really good defense. I know, as Colin said, they lost a few pieces and they're expected to cut Dee Ford as well. Well, I think their defense has been consistently strong over the last couple of years. I think the Jimmy G, Trey Lance thing is an interesting one. I remember listening to a podcast and a chap was explaining, and it was one of those things where you kind of go, there's something about Jimmy G I don't particularly like. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. This guy explained it. Jimmy G cannot throw past the hash marks. He just can't. He doesn't have the arm strength. So you basically lose a huge amount of field. I think that's why, if you look at it, Trey Lance couldn't be any more different to Jimmy G as a quarterback. He's got a cannon of an arm and he's mobile. I think it's peculiar that, as Colin said, they haven't, you know, anointed Trey Lance at this point. Now, there was talk that he was very raw. Even in college, he was, you know, you could see the rawness there. But you can also see the huge potential. Normally, in a situation like that, it's literally a matter of time before the guy that you spent all that draft capital to move up to get plays. And I think he would give Kyle Shanahan more to play with. He's not going to be as accurate as Jimmy G. The one thing, in fairness, Jimmy G can't throw past the hash marks, but he's incredibly accurate at slants and stuff like that. Their running game is very dangerous. Kyle Shanahan should be the Denver Broncos head coach, should have been for the last couple of years. There's no point in going over that again, but it was a terrible mistake. He's a really good head coach. And I think this will be a very, very close game. But it is one of those ones where you go, if we manage to beat the 49ers, again, I presume this is prime time, because that does send out a message. And I think, because there's always these teams that win the offseason, you're always kind of waiting for them to fail, you know, and there's always one that does, a team that you think, like the Browns were the team, you know, it was the year Baker Mayfield spent most of his summer doing ads rather than actually throwing footballs by the looks of things. So it's always a team that you wanted to see, who's it going to be? I think if the Broncos go 3-0 after beating them, and yet, you know, another decent team in the 49ers, or a very good team in the 49ers, I think that shows that we are legit this year. So I think we can win it. I think it might even be overtime, but I think, you know, you're looking at something like 24-21, something like that.
Do not be saying overtime with Sunday Night Football with our time zones, Stuart. It'll be good fun. Here, I'm going to go dual here for this next one. We've got, as you boys say, Vegas week 4 and the Colts week 5 for Thursday Night Football, right? So first off, if anybody knows me personally, they know how much of a pessimist that I am, and they probably know where this is going. I look at that Raiders game now and think we're going to lose in Vegas. I don't know what it is. I just have a feeling that Davante Adams is going to turn it on or something. I genuinely don't know. They've had a massive offseason on both sides of the ball and in the front office as well, with different things going on. This is a big year for the Raiders, who have improved, and Derek Carr now has the, was it a 3-year deal, wasn't it? Yeah, he got 3 years. So it's all on him this year to prove that he's worth that for the team, and to try and even get longer than 3 years. I just have the feeling that we're going to go to Vegas and just, I don't know. I don't have the confidence at all. And then, so I'm going to say 3-1. And then that Colts game's a really, really quick turnaround. It's Thursday Night Football. It's on Amazon, but it's on normal TV for us here, which is good. But I can see the Broncos going to Vegas, losing to Vegas, and then being really fired up and going 4-1 against a Colts team, which I honestly don't know what to expect, Colm. I don't know how they're going to play this season. They really, they've got such a big question mark for me. I just can't, is Matt Ryan going to go in and turn on from day one because of his experience, or how's it going to work? Anyway, look, 4-1 after week 5, I'm happy.
Yeah, I mean, we're saying going in 3-0, could they go into the Raiders game 2-1? Absolutely. And I do think the Raiders game is going to be a tough one, right? I think Josh McDaniel has learned from what his time in Denver was, where almost from day one, it was an abject disaster. So I think he will have a real point to prove. We have struggled against the Raiders in recent years. Carr gets the ball out quick, and I think that could end up being our first loss of the season. The Colts, it's a tough one, because at times last year, the Colts looked incredible, and at other times they looked terrible. A lot of that was on Carson Wentz, and it depends on how much stock you put on Matt Ryan, because at times last year Ryan played much better than the Falcons' record. He just had nothing around him in Atlanta. So I think these are two difficult games. If we got one win out of them, I could see us losing in Vegas and hopefully getting the win against the Colts, because I think going to LA afterwards, even though it'll be a relative home game, it's going to be very, very tough. So I'm going to say, yeah, a loss to the Raiders and win over the Colts. But that is going to be very, very difficult, because we have to ensure that we can deal with Matt Ryan and deal with Jonathan Taylor.
Almost forgot about Jonathan Taylor for a second. So we're on the same record, 4-1 after 5 weeks. That's like, look at us sinking here. Stuart, do you agree with this record, 4-1 after five, or what's your thoughts on both those games?
Yeah, I do. I agree. We don't play the Raiders well in their stadium. I know their stadium has changed recently, but it seems to be a game that we struggle with. I think part of it is that Carr gets rid of the ball incredibly quickly against us. I think that came from Von Miller probably scrambling his brain a little bit early on in Miller's career. And I think if you tracked the difference in the speed that he got the ball out in the latter part of Von's Denver career, the difference would be huge. So I think we will lose that game. I think, you know, very few teams go undefeated, so there's no great shame in that, even though it is the bleeding Raiders. But I think then we should bounce back. I mean, in fairness, as Colm said, Matt Ryan looked awful for periods of last season, but he also did look good as well. And the Colts are a better team than the Falcons were last year. They've got a really good defense. They've got one of the best linebackers in the NFL, and Taylor is a guy who can completely take over a game. I mean, he's right up there with Derrick Henry for running backs. He will just literally sort of grab the game by the scruff of the neck and just borderline unstoppable when he gets going. But I think we've got to win that game. So yeah, I'd have us going 4-1. I think I may have mentioned in the last podcast, if that game was in Indianapolis, I would probably have us going 3-2, because we really, whatever about not playing the Raiders well in their stadium, I genuinely cannot remember us ever winning a game in Indianapolis. So I'm glad it's at home. I think this is where home field advantage will really count. So yeah, I'd have us going 4-1, and you know, we're ticking along very nicely, but there are now some difficult games looming.
Damn right, there's some difficult games looming, some difficult times looming. The Chargers, Monday Night Football again. Boys, I'm really only looking at this now and it's sinking in that we have so many late games. Justin Herbert's going to turn it on against the Broncos in LA. Going to completely turn it on. I don't think we go to SoFi and beat the Chargers. I think we're going to go to 4-2. Colm, what do you think?
Yeah, I wasn't all that impressed by some of the Chargers' early offseason moves. I don't rate Mike Williams. I think that they lack pieces. He's fine. He's a WR2 at best. I don't think he's WR1. I think ultimately we got lucky at times last year in that I don't think they put enough around Herbert, and you could just run all over them, as we realized when they came to Denver last year, and we proceeded to do just that. I think that they have had a very good off season, and Tom Telesco has done a good job there in terms of the signings. I think it'll be a very competitive game, because I think there'll be a recognition that you have to, whoever's going to come out of the AFC West needs to be really well in the division. So I expect a close game, but unfortunately I think Herbert in his third year and what they have put around him, given that they're at home, I expect it to be a sea of orange and blue. But I do think this Chargers team will unfortunately get the win over us in SoFi.
Stuart, LA Blues?
Yeah, I think so. I think they have addressed most of the pressing issues that they had going into the offseason. Not all of them, but they've addressed most of them. I mean, Keenan Allen is a WR1, in fairness. So I think, you know, they've basically bought a defense because, you know, Justin Herbert unfortunately reminded me of a young John Elway at times last year, where he was performing miracles week in, week out with not a particularly talented
cast around them, they've gone out and they've basically bought a defense. Now sometimes these things don't gel, but I think, what are we looking at now? Week 7, are we into now, or week 6? You know, at this point, you'd expect, unless they have crippling injuries, that defense is beginning to start to gel. And I think, you know, Herbert is ridiculous. It's one of those things where, you know, there's been so many, like, the standard of quarterback play has really gone up in the last few years. The NFL is incredible because, you know, you got guys like Brady and Peyton Manning. Now, I know Brady has come out of retirement, Manning is retired. You know, it's got where the next superstar is going to come from. Pat Mahomes comes along, then you know, Josh Allen comes along, then Herbert comes along. It's unbelievable, you know. So unfortunately, the two of the best young quarterbacks that the NFL has seen in an awful long time happen to play in our division. That's life. At least we've gone out and done something about it. But I think the fact that we're not going to be able, presumably, to run all over the Chargers, and I don't think anybody's going to be able to run all over them, means that they're a much more difficult proposition. They absolutely handed our asses to us last year in this fixture, from what I remember. So I think we're going to probably go out of this one 4-2.
So we're all sitting at 4-2 after 6 weeks. We've got a couple of ones before the bye. We've got the Jets in New Jersey, and then we've got the game in London against the Jaguars. I think they're basically beside each other. You know, let's look at both. And for me, first off, with this Jets game, this Broncos team should be beating the Jets, whether it's being played in New Jersey or whether it's being played in my own backyard or London or Timbuktu or wherever. There's a lot of hype this week around the Jets and around the progression that they've made in terms of off-season signings, but obviously bringing in drafts and Sauce Gardner and the whole prospect of Zach Wilson going into his second year. I mean, I like Robert Saleh, but I just don't see how this Broncos team goes into New Jersey and doesn't perform capably enough of actually winning. Like they have to win this game, right? So if they win that game and go 5-2, I think the key to this London game is getting over there early. Why not go over on the Sunday night? Why not lock yourselves away for 2 or 3 days? No media, no interviews. Practice on the Wednesday. Give the players a couple of days off. Hackett's been over there 4 times. Peyton's been over. Just do that there. Actually set the grounds right. I'm not sure who the Jaguars play before London, but we need to go out there and get accustomed to the climate, the time difference, everything. It's going to be a 6-hour time difference at that point in the year. The Broncos shouldn't just be turning that stadium in London orange and blue. They should be winning that game comfortably against the Jaguars. And at the bye, which is the end of this week's preview in terms of our games for me, we're 6-2 going into a bye. Wow. I mean, like, you would take that column and run for the hills. Now, I know we could probably watch previous years of this, but 6-2 would be nice, wouldn't it? Especially after a hangover in London.
Yeah, no, it would be. And I think it's possibly what you might need to be, because that second half of the season outside of the Panthers and the Cardinals, if the Cardinals are their second half of the season themselves, as they tend to be, every single game is one that we will get to next week and discuss. But yeah, look, the Jets should be much improved. They won the draft, but how will those players translate? We are still waiting on Jerry Jeudy to have that breakout season, and he was, you know, the best route runner coming out of that draft class. Well, we're still waiting. Hopefully it will be this year with Russell Wilson. But transitioning to the league is it's difficult, and you never know exactly how it's going to work out. You have to be beating the Jets, and you do have to be beating the Jaguars if you want to get out of the AFC West. That is the reality of it. And these are
a home game as well against the Jets. My bad, comes to home game.
These are the games that aren't in prime time. That's there for a reason. I think both the Jets and the Jags will be improved from last year. Well, the Jags have to be. I mean, it was the circus last year. And the fact that they went ahead with their Urban Meyer appointment when everybody knew what it would be like tells its own story. They should be much improved. But even though, you know, they will be nominally the home team at Wembley, it will be a wash with orange and blue. Plus, you know, fans of the other 30 teams outside of the Jags and the Broncos. So it should not be an intimidating one for the team. I would love if they took your suggestion. I don't know if they will fly on the Sunday night, but that would be great if the team were to do that. But look, this is kind of best case scenario. I think next week will be very interesting to discuss, but I believe that the team can be 6-2 going into that bye at the first week of November.
I love it. I love the optimism. Stuart, just to round off for yourself here, 6-2, you happy with these two games?
Yeah, I think so. I think Michael, the slip that you had a little bit earlier on, Stephen Gerrard referenced there, but the moment where you were talking about the Jets game being in New York, I think that would have made it quite a tricky game in New Jersey, because I think the Jets have had a very good offseason. Again, you know, nobody gets handed out trophies for winning the offseason, but they've done the things that they're, but the Jets are in danger of turning into a competent organization, which is about time, because I have a few friends who are long suffering, and I mean long suffering Jets fans. But I think they've done what they're supposed to do with the young QB. They've given them some weapons. They've had a very good draft. They've got some good pieces in free agency. So I think that would have been a tricky game. And I do like Zach Wilson. I think people were very quick to jump all over him last year, and they forget how difficult it can be. Usually rookie QBs who start week one, week two, are been drafted by crap teams. And, you know, all you have to do is look at Peyton Manning talking about every year he hopes that somebody takes away his rookie interception record. Peyton Manning has still got the rookie interception record, I think. So, you know, that's something that I think Zach Wilson is a good QB, but we should beat them in Denver. And I, you know, we've long spoken about Trevor Lawrence on here. Trevor Lawrence is a brilliant QB, and I think he's going to be yet another AFC superstar in a few years. But they haven't done enough yet. They'd so much to do. I don't think they were going to be really able to do it in one off season. It could be, you're looking now at what's the thing that could undermine us. Is it if they travel too late? You're saying they go over on the Sunday, you know, if they stay in Tottenham's complex and they get food poisoning, that's another thing they need to watch out for. But realistically, they should be beating the Jags in Wembley. It won't be a Jaguars. It's a Jaguars home game in name only. And I think 6-2, going into the halfway point, I know there's 17 games now, but 6-2 is a very, very good, you know, it leaves us in a good place. And I think it's going to be necessary, because it gives us a little bit of buffer for what's to come. Because I think the second half of the schedule, I know we're going to talk about it next week, but the second half is considerably more difficult. So I think we kind of really need to be 6-2, at absolute worst 5-3 coming out of this.
Wow, I love how we're all in sync here. This is actually really impressive. Usually we're all over the shop here. So 6-2, we will be back next week on the show to round up the rest of the season. But I think we're not doing too bad here. Let's say we're going to be coming out with a good record at the end of it. But lads, appreciate it. Appreciate the time. Appreciate everyone listening. Please subscribe to us on the Mile High Report podcast network. We'll be back next Tuesday or Wednesday to round off the other games. And we'll chat properly, more in depth then. Go Broncos.
Go Broncos.
Go Broncos.